Hi, hello, how are you? I know it's been a week since I've last put out an episode. Mind you, the last two chapters of Death and Other Detail came out, so it gave you a little bit of time to watch both episodes, and rewatching it, wild. Still just as good. Again, I'm not sure if I called the plot twist that happens at the end of chapter 9, which we will be covering today. So, spoiler alert ahead. I can't think of much I want to say like before we get into it. So let's just jump right into it. We are on chapter 9 of Death and Other Details. It is called Impossible. And we're just going to jump right in. Andreas, Victor Sam's henchman, has landed on the boat, took out Erickson, and he has got all the guests into the dining room. And he tells them, you're all here. You are all the top 0.10% people in the world, like the wealthiest of the wealthiest. And everyone else who's with them are riding their coattails. And he goes and mentions Keith, aka Danny, Alexandria, and Llewellyn, and Catherine. They all got what they owed, but they did not repay their debt because, they took bribes and other people's money to get to where they are now, or where they were, because they are sadly dead. Trip is freaking out, rightfully so. He just yells asking who is Victor Sams. And Layla asks, is he here now? And Andreas is like, they're in control, not Interpol. And he goes on to explain that they let Erickson go and Rufus and all the children and other innocent people like Winnie and just various other passengers. They were taken on a separate ship to go ashore, and the rest of them are to stay behind, and there are no lifeboats on board. And in 1 hour, the bombs will be detonated. And we see Sunil and Jules looking at those bombs, and they aren't armed yet, but they hear men coming, and Jules is gonna attempt to fight them off. But Sunil tells him, like, no, go and hide. And also tells him, like, there is only one way off the ship. It's the helicopter. And Andreas tells them that the best offer will get them the seats. He's going to auction off these 9 seats. And the bidding will be till noon in room 218, and there will be no cheating. And he sets a timer, and the clock is ticking. Jules pops out of the cabinet. It's the same cabinet that Layla was hiding in before. And in French, he says Putin, because he thinks maybe it's the Russians. He doesn't know. We see Trip asking Anna what the plan is going to be. And she's like, I don't have a plan. Of course, she's freaking out because her mom, she found her mother dead. So, yeah. And she's probably still coming down from all the drugs and cocaine she and Trip were doing. So she's got a lot going on. Trip is going on saying, the Chuns are going to steamroll the whole thing. And Trip also mentions we only need 5 seats, Layla, us two, Imogen, and Dad. But then, he's not her dad, but Dad still nonetheless. And there's $3 billion in the bank from the Chuns, and all they really need are each other. And they just need to win first. So they need to put in the highest bid first to get those seats to get off this literal ticking time bomb. Trip is just going off. He's what my boyfriend likes to call Kermiting. So, like when Kermit freaks out, he has his hands above his head and is like, no! Trip is doing that. because he doesn't know what to do, but he's going to fix it. He tells Anna, I am going to fix it. We now see Layla, Teddy, Sunil, and Imogen all in, I'm assuming it's Sunil's office. And Layla is scanning the room to try to see if there's any listening devices. And they've come to the conclusion that, like, you know, everything is gone. Lifeboats, any way out is gone. Teddy asks, like, just in general, what is the plan? And Imogen's like, I have nothing. I'm just a thief. Like, when it comes down to it, I can, like, take things really easily. And they tell her, you know, like, you were working with Rufus, you know, why were they taken? And, you know, how would they have gone about figuring this out? And they're trying to tell her, it's not what Rufus would be doing right now. It's what you would be doing right now. Like, take what you've learned from Rufus and apply it to yourself. And what would you now do? And over the loudspeaker through the whole boat, they hear Andreas say, they must show proof of funds at the meeting. So you can't just come in with hypothetical money. Even though all money is hypothetical and fake and we keep printing it and it means nothing, you still need funds to show that you have some. Eleanor is talking to her mother, not her mother, her grandmother. And she's saying, you know, we only need 8 of the 9 seats. And we need to come in hot. We need to come in with, like, a big number to guarantee it. And, you know, Toby is approaching them. And he hears her talking about family. And he mentions how, like, Derek has already lost his mother. He can't lose his father. You don't want him to be an orphan. And Cecilia Chun, Grandma Chun, says in, I'm assuming, Mandarin, you know, no one wields guilt better than a Catholic. And Eleanor's like, I think he's Episcopalian. And she's like, it's literally all the same. And also tells him, you know, I won't be buying a seat and I won't be playing the game. Because she doesn't want to play a game where only the rich survive. Because if you remember, she came from nothing and, you know, amassed this immense wealth. So she understands what Andreas is getting at. Like, if anyone knows what it's like, it's her. And then we see a yellow screen and it says 40 minutes till noon. So the count, they've lost 20 minutes. Thinking about it now, I'm wondering if it was like 24 where it was counting down in like real time. I don't think, maybe it was, even though I don't have commercials. I want to bet if I had ads, it would have been counting down in real time. I literally just thought of that. But we see Brad and he is leaving the office and he kind of takes Trip with him. And Imogen is in the line waiting her turn. And he's taking Trip to the deck and he tells him that seats are almost at $1 billion, like $1 billion per seat. And, you know, Eleanor Chun is in line and she's going to raise that price. But he has a plan to steal the helicopter. He is certified to fly. I guess he got it on some spring break. But the negative part is the people watching the helicopters probably have guns and they did not take that into account. But oops, Toby is watching his son's phone and he's going through like all his videos. And Lawrence comes up to him and he is looking for Catherine because he needs help making his like morning breakfast shake. And Toby, you know, remembers that Lawrence has early onset Alzheimer's or dementia, whatever you want to call it. And he goes on to tell him, like, I know you don't lend people money because you don't like to do that. And before Lawrence could say, like, yeah, you're right, I don't, he said, oh, well, Catherine said it was okay. You just need to sign the check. And he hands him Catherine's blank checkbook. And Lawrence goes to sign. We now see Eleanor in room 218, and she is about to make a bid. And she tells him her grandmother won't be making any offers. And Andres is like, well, you have no access to the money. And she goes, well, here's my plan. Make me the straw bidder and tell them all seats are now over $1 billion. Someone will come in and bid for more, and all she asks for is one seat for herself. Andreas thinks it over, and they shake on it. Tripp is now back in line with a list of whom he would like to bring with him, and he keeps crossing off his dad, but not, but his dad, but not. We now see Imogen in the office, and she is asking Andreas about Rufus. And he guarantees her that Rufus has not been hurt. And we see that there's 36 minutes left until the bomb detonates. Imogen is asking him, what does he want? And, like, you know, you've made your point by, you know, putting rich people in danger. And she mentions Danny Turner, and Andreas just said Danny Turner was unfortunate. But Imogen concludes to herself, you know, he must have seen something, or they would have taken him out before they had set sail. And she kind of picks up this, it looks like it's a pocket watch off of his desk, and kind of puts it in her pocket. And she's looking around, still talking, and she asks him for it back. So he noticed he took it. And she leaves. And she's now back in Sunil's office. And when she handed back, like I said, I think it was a pocket watch, she actually picked up Danny's notebook. And she goes to open it, and all the notes are in code. And we see the flashback of a young Imogen with a Rufus when they were working on her mother's case. And she remembers the primer being truth. She asks Sunil for, like, a marker or something. And he's like, this is an adult's office. I wouldn't have that. And Teddy offers her a lipstick, pink or red. And she heads over to one of the big windows, and she starts deciphering the code. Tripp is still stuck on his dad. He doesn't know if he should include him or not because he's done terrible things, but he doesn't remember anything because he now has, you know, the Alzheimer's, dementia. He's losing his mind, like literally losing his mind. He offers them $3 billion for the seats. And Andres points out, you don't have any proof of funds. You have no power. But you can use my iPad to try and show me what you have. And if you try anything else by sending out an SOS, my men here will shoot your kneecaps out. That sounds painful. He logs on to his bank account, family bank account, and there is no money because it's all gone. And Andrea shows him, oh, yeah, that's right. And he shows him the check that Toby had Lawrence Collier sign by lying and saying Catherine said it was fine. He storms out of the office. He finds Toby in, like, that lounge area and confronts him. And he tells him, like, you know, my dad's mind is fucked. And Toby tells, you know, Tripp, like, you're evil. You've done nothing. And he tells Toby, like, you don't care. And Toby's like, I care. I have a son. I have to take care of a church, a community that rely on him. And Tripp comes back at him and goes, well, you just cheated a sick man out of his money. Like, a man of God would not do that. And Tripp's kind of right. Also, like, your church and your community, you take money from the community to fund your church, aka, like, line your pockets, bud. So you're just as, like, grimy as the rest of them. And Toby looks at Tripp and asks him, what are you going to do about it? The look on Tripp's face is like, nothing. There's nothing he can do. He goes to Brad on the ship deck and he's like, I'm in, but I need 4 seats. And Brad's like, sick. And now they're going through Danny's book. It's a lot of jumping around. The show is a lot of jumping around. So if you get confused, I apologize. They're going through his log and he recorded everything he did on board. They have 20 minutes left. We see it, you know, on the screen. Tripp comes into the office. He's looking for Anna. He has seats for them. No one is listening to him. And he looks at Jules and he goes, do you want to come? And Jules is like, what? And he goes, never mind. And he just leaves. And he's back to Brad and Brad's explaining the plan with like motion offense. And he's telling Brad, like, I can't find Anna, so I can't go. Like, he at least needs his sister. Out of everyone, he needs his sister. And he's like, Brad tells him, you know, fuck Anna. Like, it's now or never. And Tripp looks at him and goes, you sucked at football. You don't even know what emotion offense is. I'm out. I gotta find my sister. She's more important to me than your shitty plan that probably will not work. 15 minutes left. There's an unknown crew member. You know, we see 142, they're on the pool deck, and that's the time they were on the pool deck at the very beginning of the show, when he's like ordering his drink from the bar, or he's sitting at the bar. And Imogen, we see her flashing back to that day, and it's a lot of forward and backward motion, people around her. She's trying to picture who was there, and she can't remember. And Jules sends Sunil out to talk to her, like talk her down. And he tells her that, you know, Rufus didn't leave you. He was taken. Like he'd be here if he could. I didn't leave. I am here. You know, I won't leave. And Imogen goes on to say she hasn't been paying attention to anything and she hasn't been paying attention to anything for so long. And again, it flashes back to the deck and, you know, we see Derek, we see the Chuns, we see Anna, we see Imogen, Danny sitting at the bar, and Derek. She remembers Derek and Derek is on his phone recording a TikTok. They head to Toby. The auction is closed. Tripp can't find Anna, and he asks Eleanor, have you seen her? She's like, no. Not that that matter. Brad got the helicopter. And it was pretty easy because no one was watching the helicopter. Andres goes on to say, you know, one person could have bought all the seats but didn't. And, you know, they didn't think that they didn't have a reason to compare to anyone who, you know, was less to them. And because of that, Celia Chun is the winner and she can invite anyone she wants who did not make a bid. So that leaves Eleanor out because Eleanor didn't trust her grandmother. That leaves Tripp out because he attempted. So a lot. Toby's out because he was like, oh, I'll give you the money. And they got the money, but Toby's not going to be on it. We see Teddy, Layla, and Imogen looking at the phone. And it doesn't make sense. We now hear Brad on the copter. He's a little unsteady, but it's up in the air and then it explodes. So the helicopter is now gone. Super fun. Imogen realizes something. She goes to room 218 again, and she looks at the double doors. There's something there. And she knows Victor is in there. Anna is with her mother's body, and rightfully so, she's freaking out. Again, a lot of feelings. Her mother is dead. She found out her father is not her father. She is also probably detoxing from all the cocaine she did. We see Victor Sams behind those double doors. And Victor Sams is Erickson. How do they know that? She was on Derek's video. And it was like a magic trick. Because Danny figured it out. And that was Danny's mistake. And he had to be taken out because he, you know, sees her. We get a flashback. He sees her and goes, I don't remember you being on the roster, and asked her who she was, and she wasn't answering. So again, she had him killed. She had Winnie kill Victor, or not. She had Winnie kill Danny. So Winnie is like hypothetically innocent. Like, she's guilty by association. She pulled the trigger, but she was like coerced into doing it. Not coerced. She was manipulated into doing it. And, you know, she owns the ship. She owns the crew. It was all a trap. And, you know, during the Alexandria stuff, she brought the case up from Collier Mills 18 years ago, and she made Alexandria think that the Colliers were going to go after her for it. And subsequently she died. And then Lawrence was too far gone to remember anything. So, you know, go after Catherine. And then with Llewellyn, there was no other way out for him. He knew everything, being the family's lawyer, you know. He had the ricin in his system, and we see a flashback to the night he and Erickson had spent together. And she tells him, you know, there's ricin in your system. You got about 3 days. You're going to die. The governor, she's alive, but she's not. She's going to go soon. And, you know, look at her hands, you know, and imagine them blue. All the murders, the deaths she created were all personal. She wanted them all to suffer. And she had dropped the accent. Imogen looks at her, and Imogen has figured it out. And Erickson, or Victor Sam, says, you see things others don't. And Imogen gets a flashback to her mother in the car. And she realizes Agent Hilda Erickson, a.k.a. Victor Sams, a.k.a. it's her mom. And I don't know if I guessed that, but I felt like I did say that Victor Sams would probably be her mom. I felt like I did say that somewhere in one of these various episodes. And as the episode was going, I was figuring this out, and my jaw was on the floor. I thought maybe Teddy would have been Victor Sams, but it was a great episode. I am really hoping for a season two with how they ended it in chapter 10. I'm hoping for, I guess, a sequel book, but it was so good. It kind of followed the same trope as Only Murders, as in episode 9. We see it from the killer's point of view. And then episode 10 like wraps the season all up in a cute little bow. So in chapter 10, I've already seen the episode. It'll hopefully get all wrapped up. You know, we will see who lives, who dies with the boat imploding. It was very Titanic-esque-ish, except, you know, minus the iceberg. But my jaw, again, was on the floor. And going back and rewatching it was just, it was, didn't see it coming. It was great writing. Episode 2, or chapter 10, will be up at another point this week. I may record it tomorrow or Wednesday, but a chapter 10 episode will be out. Please follow the show on Instagram. Oh, speaking of, they've started recording, producing, filming season 4 of Only Murders in the Building. So exciting. I saw an article somewhere. Jane Lynch is excited to be the murder victim because she'll get more screen time in flashback episodes. And I'm really excited for that. I love her as Saz. I'm excited to see what it's going to do in LA. I'm wondering if they're going to LA because of like Saz's background. That'll be fun to see. Our Marty Short and Meryl Streep have denied that they're not dating, but they've been seen out and about together, going to like Broadway shows and getting dinner. And you would assume like men and women can be friends. They can go out to dinner together and hang out. But the fact that Marty is, you know, widowed and Meryl came out like last year or fairly recently saying she and her husband had separated, and then they worked closely together on the third season being love interests, that like maybe they are dating. And as devastated as I would be, they are very cute together. I love that for them. And I believe Meryl lives in Connecticut. So like I could drive to Connecticut and go looking for them. I wouldn't, because that's insane. But I'm close enough to Connecticut that if I go there, because there's a delicious deli down there and I happen to run into them, great. I would not go in search of. You know what I would go in search of? I would drive to the Berkshires and look for Bluestone Manor because Dorinda is iconic. Problematic? Iconic. But that's all I can think of for now. So again, follow the Instagram. I never finished that statement. Follow the Instagram. It's something.about.podcast. Rate, like, and review wherever you listen to this. Greatly appreciated. And again, a second episode for Chapter 10 will be coming out at some point this week. Have a great day. Bye.